We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the warm voice of your local announcer with today's eating aids for drinking, all packaged goods, and all happiness to you from me. And restaurants all over the place. Tom Fitzmaurice, your favorite restaurant.
Something or another.
And with us is...
The wife.
The wife.
Marianne, if you don't know who that is.
Go Marianne, ahead. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you get a haircut today?
No.
No. This is a program about food, about restaurants, about cooking, and about all of that. And here we are parked on the corner of this little little stool that I have. Well, it's not a stool, is it? It's little.
It's a big black chair.
Big black chair. Well, yeah, this one is. But then there's, oh, the heck with it. Okay, so what we have been doing all day long is thinking, at the very least, about the food scene around town. And in some cases, actually doing something about it, writing a few paragraphs about it and letting you know about it. I wrote one this morning about a dinner that we had last night. The Marys, as I refer it to them as, the Marys came up with the idea to go to, the name of that place always eludes me.
Fogo de Chão.
Fogo, F-O-G-O?
Mm-hmm.
Fogo de,
mm-hmm.
Or de?
D-E.
D-E.
C-H-A-O.
C-H-A-O. Chão. Is kind of how it comes out, or something like that.
Maybe not as dramatic. It's Sean.
Okay. Well, we'll take it that way. Your daughter, my daughter too, were wondering whether we could go do that for dinner last night. I don't know whose idea that was, but it was a good idea.
It was actually my idea because someone was asking about culinaries or talking about the culinary at Brasa, which I wish I had remembered to throw out also because it's a steakhouse as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying that about culinaries, to me, the thing to remember is the best value would automatically be a steakhouse because at steak prices... Where in the world are you going to get a steak plus two courses for $40?
Is that how much it was? I thought it was. I thought it was 30 something, but it seemed
it's
like
39.
It's
39.
It's a great
some
bargain.
Some are 37, but anyway, actually, it wasn't that good a deal for us. I don't think it was because you can go to Fogo and get a salad bar for $5, $15,
yeah.
$15 at lunch. And I believe, I don't know what it is at dinner, but you can get the salad bar, which is an extensive, gorgeous salad bar of premier ingredients, which includes the black bean stew, whose name I can't pronounce, and the bacon, and all it's just a really good deal for this one price of this salad bar that is, as I said, really beautiful. So if you eat a lot of meat.
Do you?
I have been known to, but I just don't feel like eating very much right now.
No?
So I had two or three chicken drumettes.
Drumettes.
You know, drumettes. Like,
they
you know,
sound
the,
like,
well, if you have a chicken wing,
sounds
you have
like a
two,
unit in a parade.
You have two parts of a chicken wing.
Uh-huh.
And then one of them is what amounts to a small leg. So they call that a drumette. So I had two or three of those. I think two, really. And then a couple of the bacon wrapped pieces of chicken,
mm-hmm.
and the sausage, which I don't dislike. I do actually like it, but it's different than the sausage that they used to have, which I do prefer. So, you know, if you were going to get like steak more steak and more steak, then probably, yes, it would be a good deal. But you don't eat anything anymore. So you had, you had what, like one piece of the chicken drumette and not even, you didn't finish that, and then another small piece of something else. And you like that piranha or something? What's it called?
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned it, because this is something I've taken notice of. This Fogo de Chao place, they have many different kinds of meats, most of which are, you know, in the medium well to well category, and it's several different cuts.
Well, it's however you ask for it.
Huh?
It's however you ask for it.
Yeah,
but it's
mostly
medium
true.
Rare, but they do have some parts of the edges that are well done, and that's what we always ask them to carve.
Mm-hmm. Well, but that other one, that mention that you made of, I'm going to write it down this time.
It's picanha, I think.
Picanha, yeah.
I think it's P-A-C-A-H-N-E or P-A-C-A-N-H-E, one of those.
It's funny because
all
the steaks that I see over there are, you know, familiar. Except that one, it sits on the skewer, and they have these big, they look like pogo sticks or something. But anyway, it just rests on there and fairly thin, or you can get it really, really thick. But the kind of in the middle is really good. It's got a totally different taste from anything else. It's the flavor of, it's a back cut back there in the round, you know. Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the things that, you know, as is typical of the culinaries.
How many times today will you say that word?
Yeah, I probably won't. But I've found that in really, really delving into the culinary menus, there's only a handful of them that I would actually do, because I'm not crazy about the menu, and I've said it before, if I'm going to spend $40 a person somewhere, you could probably get whatever you want for that. Mm-hmm. So I was not surprised when we arrived at Fogo, and the discs that you use, the red side, the green side, you know, red means enough, I've had enough, and green means please give me more. And When he seated us, he took those away, and I thought, whoa, why are you taking those away? Is this like a fixed menu or something? And he said, no, but the culinary is a special disc. Mm. So that meant automatically that it was not going to be what I was expecting. Well, so what they had eliminated from it was actually our favorite thing there, which was the big beef rib. And
you like beef ribs?
I'm crazy about beef ribs.
Are you really?
Very rare, very, very hard to find. But yes, I'm crazy about beef ribs. Fogo has a great beef rib. I mean, there's not a lot of meat on beef ribs, but what is there is
there's a lot of
fatty
bacon
and I like that.
And solid bone too.
I like that. But anyway, so that was the first thing that they took off, and also lamb, which I wouldn't have gotten anyway.
Yeah, and they told us they weren't.
And there were one
lamb
or two other kinds of meats that, you know, I mean, there was a lot on it. You know, they had like, there were, I think they said they do 16 meats, and they removed four of them for the culinary.
Well, before we warm up too warm here, I want to make the most important point that you ought to know about this. All the different cuts of beef that it serves, they are basically served or predominantly served from an all-you-can-eat skewer. And away you go. And
It's like the classiest all-you-can-eat version around. You know, I mean, it's really, it's good. Are you turning my mic down or turning your headset down?
Because
I would recommend that you turn your headset down.
Blew off my head for a second there.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so it was good. They had a dessert that came with it, which was surprising. They had three choices for dessert.
Yeah. And I thought they were okay. One of them was
the key lime.
Key lime pie, which was very, very
key limey.
Very slow layer. Wait, what's the word I'm looking
tart
for? Tart, but not too much.
Okay, so it was good.
It was sweet, but not too sweet.
Oh,
good. It was
so good.
It was, yeah, it looked nice, too.
It was very pretty, yeah. It was a teeny tiny piece, which I, you know, is probably maybe a third or a fourth of the size that you would get if you ordered a real dessert there, which, again, the idea of a culinary, I think, is that you, you know, have the experience that you would have for a reduced price.
You know,
but if you are reducing the portion size infinitesimally, then that stops being such a great deal.
Yeah,
you
I
know,
imagine
like,
it would be.
Like I wanted to see what the cheesecake looked like, and it was a sliver of cheesecake, maybe a quarter of an inch.
Reverting back to key lime pie, it's been a long time since I thought
about
it. It's
good, though.
Yeah. It's the first time I've thought about it in a long time, but I remember going out to Key West and, you know, sloshing around out in the, and surfing, of course. You know how I am in surfing.
Yeah.
And I just slipped and fell on so doggone many keys and limes. I just
oh,
kept,
golly.
You know, I'm on my face.
Oh.
Every,
oh, wait, I'm supposed to laugh at that. I'm sorry, I missed my cue.
Oh, look, we're going over into the red red marker here.
Anyway.
Let's see, who is here?
Oh, we have a caller?
Yeah, I know, but who?
Amazing. Let's
Greg.
Go.
Oh, Greg is here.
Hi, Greg.
Greg, welcome to
Harry.
The food show. Watch
Thank
out
you.
For
Marianne.
The limes. You will not want to trip on a key lime.
Now, would you rather trip on a key or a lime, Tom? I would imagine a key would be a little less...
Well, I've probably lost a key somewhere, so I can
This is fascinating, isn't it, Greg?
It is.
Greg, take us out of the mire here.
I was going to say, Marianne, I don't know if it's an unpopular opinion, but I'm totally with you with the price and the bang for your buck for culinary. I would much rather the Revillon menus around Christmas time. I think those are, if I had to pick one of the two, I think I like those menus better than the culinary. The Revillon menus that come out.
Oh, the Revillon menu. Well, it's the same organization, same outfit.
Yeah.
They do more or less the same things, but I can
well,
see
I don't think
point.
I don't think they do the same thing at all. I think the Revillon is not a reduced rate, but more of a Christmas theme.
Yeah.
Culinary, the idea
the
is
portion,
like restaurant
yeah.
week everywhere else. What?
Right. The portions I like better. I think that the menus, if you compare them side by side.
Right.
The Revillon,
right.
yeah, and I benefit of the doubt. I mean, I totally get it. It's one is August, one is December. It's you know two different times of year. But if somebody asked me which do you prefer, I would say the Revillon for sure.
Yeah,
and I think most restaurants bring it better. I think they bring it better. It's a different type of food they present that time of year too. So, look, I was reading and I was going back in time. I know you guys talk about restaurants of yesteryear sometimes. Mm-hmm. Chef Rene, who passed away last year, is it Bajou?
Oh, yeah, yeah. When he appeared recently again, I was almost surprised to say, well, Rene is back again. Cause
Dominique?
Yeah.
Are we talking Dominique?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he was coming and for and going back.
I had
and,
to jump back
and
for
we
a
didn't,
second. Sorry.
We didn't see him for a long time. He's a great chef, especially if you like that northeastern kind of style of French cooking.
Is this about Bordeaux? Because I had to
Not
jump
exactly.
up for a second.
Have you been to
Greg? Did you
no,
ask about Bordeaux?
No, this is. I saw that he had passed away, and I was reading his. The column on him in NOLA.com, or maybe there was the Times-Picayune, that he had a restaurant in the Warehouse District
again,
right after
yeah.
2000. Rene's Bistro, I believe.
Are we talking about Rene?
Yeah,
yeah.
It was on Girard, right off a chop.
Okay, now, Greg, I'm going to flatter myself right now and say that the reason that you're asking about Rene
yourself.
Is that you read NoMenu.com.
I'll look it over while you're not looking.
As soon as Tom's done, I can listen to what you're saying. Okay, but is that true?
No, it was a couple of weeks ago. I had some old newspaper clippings, and I saw that they honored him. You know, they talked about his life, and he had passed away. He was working in Jackson, Mississippi, of all places, I think at a country club, maybe.
That's exactly right.
Well, then it's a funny coincidence, because today on NoMenu.com, Rene Bajou is mentioned
in
the piece about Lafitte.
No.
That's a funny coincidence.
Things happen, don't you? Well, you know, there's only 500
well,
people.
Well, that's what I get
here.
For flattering myself. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you.
No, did y'all go to his bistro in 2001? I think it was open around 2001, I believe.
It was something like that. It was a terrific restaurant in that French style. Over the years, popped up at other restaurants, and in some cases, it was. You would think about it and say, gosh, what's going on here? And you'd find out it's hard to explain, but he was a major player for quite a while.
Well, they mentioned one restaurant, too. I don't remember this one for some reason. It was Cote, C-O-T-E, Brasser, Cote? Cote Brasserie or something like that?
La Cote Brasserie. That's the one you're talking about, Tom, isn't it?
In
the
exactly
Renaissance,
right.
In the Renaissance Hotel in the Warehouse
one.
District, La Cote Brasserie.
This one was... This one was before that, though. This one was called Renee's Bistro, B-I-S-T-R-O-T.
It's the same place.
I think it's the same place. I think he's had five restaurants with that
it's
name
it's the same
on
place
it,
with a name change.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. Okay, that makes sense.
None of this takes away from his talent or his ability. If he's there and he's cooking, you will have a great meal from him.
Yeah, well, he's passed away now, so nobody's going to be eating any of his food.
Again?
Anytime soon.
No, really, I'm serious. I kept losing track of him, and
he can only pass away once, though.
Yeah.
Well, anyway,
I'm sorry. Sometimes I lose it.
That was before my time in the city, and I never went. Unfortunately, I never was able to go there. But I heard it was really a good place for many years. So
yeah, it definitely was that.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'm glad we got that taken care of.
And I'm crushed. I'm crushed that you didn't ask that question because you were reading nomenu.com. I insist that you go read it. Go ahead. What now?
It's the food show, and we will return with more of it in just a moment after First Please This. In the meantime, call us 260-6368, 260-6368. Hello there. Welcome back. It's the food show. This is Tom Fitzmaurice. You are part of it, too. You're always welcome here. If you ever want to ask or tell us something about anything, roast beef poor boys, candy bars, big racks of lamb with beautiful sauces and lots of presentation, all of that we love talking about, but everything in between as well, give us a call. Our telephone number is 260-6368. 260-6368. If you call right now, you'll get right in. And we've had, for reasons that I cannot fathom, for the last couple of months, we seem to be having very busy programs, lots and lots of people called about all kinds of things, which is exactly what I hope happens, and it has been happening big time for the last few weeks. So go ahead and call us. And the reason I'm telling you this is that these people who have been calling have been telling us some things that we didn't know about or that are just striking for one reason or another. So let's see. Right now, the main thing going on is that during this month, you have we were coming back from that wonderful festival that we have at this time of year, and how good that has been, and what a great bargain it is.
Oh, the culinary,
the
you
culinary,
mean? Talking about culinary.
The culinary.
Yeah. So, are you going back to FOGO? Or are you talking about culinary in general?
I don't think we officially shifted anything. You know, sent out an order or anything, but. But it all works together reasonably well, and we have some interesting
people. So the report on FOGO was that it was good.
Yeah. Good. I thought it was a good evening. It's a very comfortable restaurant. You know, it's interesting. People you see there are typically pretty well-dressed. And some of these people that I'm talking about are people who are not very well-dressed at all. They're hardly dressed.
You're talking about at FOGO?
No. I would be in this case.
I think there's a lot of tourists there. It's a lot of tourists, which kind of surprises me because you wouldn't go to New Orleans and go to a FOGO.
But listen to my point. The people who do come from out of town and land there are typically dressed up in suits and ties. And it's like the, you know, the local people that don't have the ties or the shirts or the pants sometimes. Thank goodness we don't get too much of that. And it's funny. I've noticed that pretty much for the last couple of years that nobody wants to dress up. Well, that's nothing new. But
yeah, that's your general thing. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, 260-6368 is the number. Mm-hmm. Before Doug tells us, today is National Garlic Bread Day.
Oh, one of the good ones. Where's the place other than Commander's Palace?
I was about to say, and that brings to mind Commander's Palace.
Mm,
because to me, that is absolutely fantastic garlic bread. And I'm sorry to say my favorite thing there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you're aware of this, but every year on the 1st of April, I write a restaurant review that's a complete fake,
mm-hmm.
and it's just a joke. And it's preposterous offers of different things. But it was about 2-3 years ago, I had the entire staff of Commander's Palace, including the chef, you know, and Ella Brennan was actually still there at that time.
Uh-huh.
And a couple other such people standing in the neutral ground and giving away garlic bread. I had a little line underneath that said, this is what Commander's Palace is doing for everybody that here on the 4th, on the, not the 4th of July, but, and it was so preposterous that they were giving away the garlic bread in the neutral ground.
Yes.
on St. Charles Avenue.
Yeah.
But this is something that tells you a little bit about the Brennans. They went along with it for a while yet, and they thought it was the funniest thing they'd ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
So I love getting in a joke once in a while, you know, just once in a while.
Yeah, it's rare, yeah.
Anybody on hold?
Anyway, garlic bread, you know, I had... This is a memory that I have whenever I think of Commander's Palace garlic bread. Mm. For my 60th birthday, I had a birthday party at a friend's house.
Mm-hmm.
And so that required remembering to bring everything to the friend's house because I catered it myself because I made all of my favorite things. But my sister surprised me. I knew one of them was coming in, but the other one surprised me, and they just showed up at the door. And we spent so much time just having sisterly fun that a lot of the food that was supposed to get done that day did not get done.
Mm.
Like, I remember I had these sad little, what was supposed to be kebabs. Just like little dry meatballs.
Oh, this is sad.
Very sad. I mean, fortunately, there were some things that were still done, but other things were not done. But I had like 3 or 4 loaves of French bread that were going to be turned into Commander's Palace style garlic bread just because it was my birthday and I love it and I was going to have it for the party. But it went in as French bread. And then once the party started, of course, I wasn't going to start making garlic bread, but it just sat there and it ended up as bread just like it was because nobody did it.
Mm. Well, that's too bad.
It was. It was one of the several things that were culinarily disappointing about the party. But that was the only thing. It was a great party. Great birthday.
Could have been super numerary, too, so you could
have had
all kinds of fun with it.
That's right. Anyway, Commander's Palace garlic bread is the best one. I like garlic bread just about any place. You know, you used to have a really good one, according to Mary Lee. I never did have it, but Chef Duke at Cafe Giovanni.
I believe anything about
had this
Chef Duke.
Big, almost loaf of bread. And Mary Lee was so enamored of that garlic bread, she talked about it often. And I don't know if he's going to have it at his new place, Dabs, when that opens, but maybe he should because it was apparently really, really good because our daughter is a very discriminating diner, mm-hmm. I would say. But garlic bread, to me, I used to think of garlic bread as just garlic and butter, and then Commander's elevated it to a whole new world. And now when I do garlic bread, I do chopped parsley, garlic, the butter, and I think they have dill on theirs, and just gobs of Parmesan. So it becomes more like a white pizza.
A white pizza.
It becomes more like a white pizza. Speaking of white pizza, has anyone been to the new Bonky? No, it's not Bonky. It's Bonchi, I think.
Do you have something to tell, and I will go take care of this?
I have a car in the shop.
Okay. Is that it?
That I keep getting called on. So you take it. I can wait for a few more minutes. Anyway, it's probably Bonchi because...
Oh, I know what you're talking
because
about.
Because it's C-H is the hard C. So it's Bonchi in the warehouse district. It is a Roman-style pizza. And the reason that I mention it in relation to garlic bread is that one of the choices of the pizza is... One of my favorite things, cacio e pepe.
Ooh, everybody loves that unless they've never had it before.
Well, even if you haven't had it, you love it because what's wrong? What could be wrong with it? It's garlic. It's not garlic, actually. It's pepper, parmesan, and hot pasta. That's it. Mm. But the cacio e pepe that you see, like Italy has a pizza called cacio e pepe. And it's pretty much garlic and olive oil and Parmesan cheese.
Mm-hmm.
You know, had that for a while, and it was really, really good. And I don't know why they Andy's Bistro.
Andy's Bistro is highly underrated.
I agree.
They have real good steaks.
I agree.
They have very good seafood.
It's not underrated by me. I love it.
Yeah, okay. Every time I go there, I say, why have I left this behind when there's so much good food in here? It's on Turnbull, about a half a block off of Veterans Highway on the lakeside. It's been there for a long time. In fact, I had in one of these little clippings that I have from restaurants, there was... a couple of guys. It was Archie Manning and...
Right, when it was Archie and Danny's, right?
Right, and they had that place.
Well, you know, he's always owned that building.
Yeah,
and so after all those restaurants had come and gone, he finally said, okay, look, how hard can this be? I'm going to do it myself. And he found out that it was very hard, but that they also had a knack for it. So now they have their second location, 3B's in Lakeview. But I had a sad experience at Andy's Bistro.
Oh, what was it?
And you know what? It is totally my fault. Mm. And it's this obsessive need that I have to not have anything go to waste. They had a fantastic creamy pasta and Alfredo that I had absolutely no business taking home, but I did take it home. And it was lying next to my favorite handbag, this gorgeous, camel leather Ted Baker bag. And now it's got a big grease stain on it. It's my fault totally, but I just will never forget that stupid, stupid move of mine. Anyway, Andy's Bistro is a wonderful place, but they started out with these little cheese biscuits. And then they stopped the cheese biscuits for some reason, and then they started serving this flatbread that was just olive oil, just garlic, and Parmesan cheese. And it was even more delicious than the cheese biscuits. So it was like one or the other. They're both divine. And then they stopped serving that too, which was kind of a bummer. But anyway, I still love Andy's Bistro.
Yeah, I love
Kevin. Yeah. Anyway, we have a break. 260-6368 is the number. That's 260-MENU. You're listening to WWL FM 105.3 HD2.
Thank you. Oh, hello there. Welcome back. This is The Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. Our buddy here, Mary Ann is here and watching over things. Mary Ann hired me for the gig here at the radio station a long, long time ago. But why talk about that when you can talk about all the other things that one can eat and enjoy and get around?
We're talking about garlic bread. Does anybody else know of a really great garlic bread in town? I know that Commander's Palace is king, and they probably don't like the fact that people talk about the garlic bread probably as much as anything else there, but it is rather superb garlic bread.
Impastatis.
So does it? I've never had garlic bread there. Now they have their regular bread, which is fantastically good. But I've never had their garlic bread.
You just have to
bread.
Ask it, and then they'll go back there and throw it in the oven.
Oh, so essentially they take that same fantastic bread and put garlic butter on it? Well,
yes.
I would imagine that would be really good because the bread itself is just
it really is.
Superb. They get it from Angela's, the little bakery tucked in the corner on Elise at West Metairie.
Elise at West Metairie.
Yeah, or West Metairie and Elise.
What? That was the ending point of prom night.
Oh, yay. Okay.
It just came to mind. Okay. Because what else could you put on the that corner?
Well, Angelo's Bakery and Domino's Pizza and a few other things.
That's a real sleeper.
Angelo's? Oh, it's wonderful.
It's really good.
And you can buy their bread, but you have to get there before, I think, either
early
10
morning,
or
yeah.
noon.
Yeah.
You can buy that bread separately. And for a while there, I was on this kick where I was making my own muffaladas, and I was going to get the long bread, the long braided Italian loaf. And even though it's really not a proper muffalata bread, because a muffalata bread has sort of a denser, stiffer crumb
You don't want French bread for a muffaletta.
No, well, this isn't really French bread. I mean, this would be the Italian bread, but it's their bread inside of that crusty shell when you heat it up is sort of doughy, and that's really not the proper bread for a muffalata, but it's got the sesame seeds on it, and it's just a really great bread. So when I was doing those muffaladas for the kids that came down to work after Katrina, I would get like these gigantic loaves and then make the muffaladas and slice them in, you know, in like 2-inch slices. But those were really good. That was
You can't stop eating.
You really can't. That stuff is killer.
And now there's another side of this that is kind of self-made or kind of – now when you go to any of the good restaurants that do
garlic
grilled oysters.
Okay.
And this is the way things play in my family for the most part. Believe it or not, the oysters come. They have a pool of garlic butter with a little bit of Parmesan cheese. And it all goes in the oven. Drago's, you know, they invented this. And it's sizzling at the top and bottom. And after you get the oyster dispatched, this leaves the shell, of course, which is, you know, no use for that in terms of eating. But you also get the garlic butter that's in there, and it's still sizzling. And I know a lot of people, including about half a dozen of them in my direct family, who only eat the oyster, only eat the garlic butter. They just get in there with whatever kind of bread they can get their hands on, and it's chomp, chomp.
That used to be me, too, until A, I quit eating bread, and B, I became obsessed with zinc. So I decided zinc.
No, wait.
So I decided to start eating oysters.
You don't mean, you know, you have to clean out the zinc at home, as you're supposed to do.
No, I mean the mineral zinc.
Oh, the zinc.
The
yeah.
zinc mineral. Anyway, I've gotten on to doing garlic butter and shrimp. Like, I have this thing now
instead of
barbecue shrimp,
yeah,
I will take a mixture of olive oil and butter.
Olive oil.
And garlic, gobs and gobs of garlic, and parsley, and then roast shrimp in that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really good.
Yeah,
I'm saying that like it's some great invention. I mean, you can get that just about any restaurant in town, but that's the way I'm doing it now instead of barbecue shrimp. Which I also love. I mean, you know, how far wrong can you go with any kind of heated shrimp?
I don't know, but here...
Or cold shrimp, for that matter.
On the line here, 260-6368. 260-6368.
Do we have a caller?
Oh, no.
Oh.
I was just going after one right now because it would be perfect timing for that person to get in here and share a few things
on us. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I can talk endlessly about nothing at all. So
that's a good conversation.
It is for radio, for sure. Anyway, I was eating before I came here. Okay, I'll let you do that in a second. Okay, go ahead. You can do it.
You know what this is?
Tom's got all these little ads that he's cut out of these magazines that he's going through
Well,
in the office.
They're all from like 20 years
no,
ago.
No, 40 years ago, 30, or 40 years ago, like 80s. That'd be almost 40 years ago now.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And so now he's holding a little ad in his hand. So go ahead, Tom, what would you like to say about that?
Upper left-hand corner, now open dinner till 6 p.m. until 1 a.m. Now, that's unusual. I mean, you're not many...
You know what I think that is? A function of 40 years ago.
Also the kind of customer this place got.
40 years ago. Longway Tavern is something that I mentioned the other day in a piece. I'd gone to a like a welcome, we've got a new chef kind of party. And one of the things about Longway Tavern that's distinctive is it's this old house. And I know there are a million of them in the French Quarter, but there was this couple that lived there back in the early 20th century. They were both writers, and they would work. I mean, they would stay up all night and work and sleep all day. I don't know why you need to do that as a writer, maybe a fireman or something. But anyway, that was just what they did. It was this couple. It's good that the couple both had the same desire to be night owls, because can you imagine if you were married to someone who wanted to sleep on a different schedule? But anyway, they stayed up all night, and it was like a stopover place for people who lived in the quarter also, who were coming back from whatever, for how long, whoever knows how long. I mean, we're talking about way back in the early 20th century.
Yeah.
And so
the early 20th,
the early 20th century. So these people welcomed all of these strangers, and maybe probably not so much strangers, but I think they would have welcomed the strangers too. But the house was like an open house all the time. And they would come in at any hour of the morning, in the wee hours of the morning, knock on the door, they would go in, and they would feed breakfast to these people.
Oh, how nice.
And that's sort of the legend of the Longway Tavern. But I was looking at that and thinking about that, and I looked at the hours for Longway Tavern, and I realized that I think it closes maybe at midnight or something.
Could be.
I'm thinking, how times have changed, because... Mm. You know, a place like that with a history like that in the French Quarter so deep, it was kind of surprising to think that they were not open until 2 in the morning at least.
I'm sure. And we have a couple people on hold. So
we do. That is just...
Calling over here on the maroon phone is... I'm sorry, I didn't catch it. Susan, welcome to the food show. Thank you very much for being here.
Hi, Tom.
Susan,
how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you? What are you doing all day today?
Well, I'm driving in the car at the moment, but I wanted to let you know, because Marianne had mentioned something about who had been to, is it Bonchi? Is that how you pronounce
yes.
it?
Yes. I think it's Bonchi, yes.
Yeah, it's
okay. Well,
I remember it, but I can't remember what exactly.
Yeah, it's the pizza place. So you've been there?
A Bonchi.
Yeah, I took a friend on Sunday. I had... been to Italy in June and didn't even know about it. We were in Rome. That was our last stop from the Amalfi Coast. And so didn't try it in Rome, but tried it Sunday here. And
wait, you didn't try it in Rome?
Really, I didn't know about it then. I read about it after the fact that it was coming here, but it started in Rome. So didn't get to the flagship one.
Oh, you're talking about the place itself. I thought you were saying that you'd never had any pizza in Rome.
Oh, no.
Okay.
But actually, this time I did not eat any pizza in Rome. There were too many other good things.
Mm-hmm.
But is any of this a reference?
Et cetera.
Go ahead. So what?
So anyway, the place here on Julia Street is very casual.
Very tiny.
I guess you could say techno in design. And
it's tiny, too.
Yeah, the pizza is, however big a piece you want, they will literally cut with the scissors and then weigh it. The thing that I liked about it, though, was, of course, the dough is from flour that is from Italy, so that always makes it good. The other thing is the combination of what they put on the pizza, such as the freshwater mozzarella or various types of fresh mushrooms, They used sausage, prosciutto, calamari on some pieces. So just different combinations. Ricotta cheese, for example. And it was quite tasty. They're cooked already, but then they warm them. The thing is, they just need to warm them well enough. If it's just lukewarm, do send it back so they can zap it to make sure it's warm enough when you eat it. And
these are the things that are important to Luke, in fact.
Is it as good as any of the other pizza that you've had in Rome?
Actually, like I'm saying, I didn't eat pizza when I was in Rome this time.
Yeah, I know, but like it sounds like you've been there before, so I'm assuming at some point you've had pizza in Rome.
It would have been many years ago. I don't really remember, to be honest with you.
Because, you know, in Rome, the pizza places are so crowded, and there's always, I've never been to one that didn't have a line of people. And so the pizza never gets a chance to get cold, you know, or even cool down.
That's different here.
Yeah, so this stuff is going to get a little bit colder. What? Also, we have air conditioning fired up here, so it's going to cool down pretty quickly. And there were a lot of people when I stopped in. I didn't stay because I didn't have time to eat. But there were a lot of people in there, they had also had a lot of choices of pizza. And I was just wondering, it didn't look as good. And I know they've only been open 4 days. So it didn't look as good as the pizza in Rome, but, you know, I'm sure they're going to get it together.
Update me to this. I've been listening to all of this, but I'm not quite sure I know.
Well, you haven't seen it yet. It's in the warehouse district.
What's the name of the place?
Bonchi.
Well, we had Bonchi. A restaurant of that name that just hit me. It was on Franklin. No, not Franklin. It's on in Lakeview. And, you know, Susan Spicer's three restaurants that she has.
Yeah.
It's on one of them. And as a matter of fact, it's right across the street from where the steakhouse had been.
Mm-hmm.
And they call that La Bonchi.
No, it's Mondo.
Well, that's Mondo, but this was a different restaurant. Really? It was pretty much at the beginning. I don't think she was involved in it. But anyway, it's the first time I've seen that word in a long time.
Well, anyway, it's a pizzeria from Rome that has just had one outpost. I think this is the only one in the United States, right?
I think they have one in Chicago. I think they started there.
Is that right? Okay. Anyway, my question is, did they weigh it by the kilo?
Because
that would make it pretty authentic.
No. It is by the pound. And when you look at the pound price is pretty expensive, and there are different prices depending on what the topping is.
Yeah. Well, they also have cacio e pepe there, too, but they also have that in Italy. And do they have it? I didn't get anything to go, so do they use the little paper wrapper that they stick it in? Well, if you didn't get pizza this time in Rome, and the last time was many years ago, then you probably don't even remember that process.
They have their brown boxes if you want to take it to go. There were people who, you know, just came in for to-go orders, or if you had some left over or whatever. So you can do that. The best thing probably is to go around mealtime, and then they're making them, and get one that's like right out of the oven, so they don't really have to warm it too much. It hasn't cooled too much.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for the report. Thank you.
This is the Food Show.
Bye-bye.
Michael is here calling us from the green phone. Hello.
Marianne and Tom, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm great, and she's okay.
That's about right. That's about all. I top out at okay these days. Go ahead.
Well, restaurant reviews from the weekend, some mainstays that we dined at on Saturday, starting with a lunch at Paran's, and which Tom, the hot sausage po' boy and a cup of red beans is what I have to go for over there. Their hot patty sausage is just great. It really is great. And then, Marianne, I know your favorite. I actually had Tower of Pizza Saturday night. And
it's not a favorite. It's
good.
A curiosity.
Well, it's
yeah,
the same for 30 years.
That's about right.
And but it's packed. You go on a Saturday night.
I know,
night,
isn't it?
Always.
I know.
Always.
And the to-go line, and it's just great. And then Sunday, we had a large group. We had lunch reservations at Empastada Cellars on the North Shore. But sadly, they were, I don't know what their problem was, if somebody didn't show up for work, but they could not. They were so backed up. They were 2 hours backed up on reservations. So,
oh, wow.
But we called Mandina, and they were able to accommodate a group, about 14 people. You know, and I tell you, I find the North Shore Mandinas is just as good as the South Shore. They're consistent. And it's good atmosphere, and everybody's food was good and good service. It's just always a consistent, good place to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the one on the North Shore is a much nicer-looking restaurant than the one in
The parking's for sure a lot better.
Well, that's, yeah.
Yeah.
West.
I don't know. I'm losing my taste for old-fashioned New Orleans.
Well, I know. I've been, you don't like the old flashbacks.
I don't. Yeah.
Whatever.
So go ahead.
But,
what?
Well, I missed the end of yesterday's show, so I didn't hear what was your penultimate Lucy, I Love Lucy food, because all the ones that everybody had mentioned was the only ones that I knew with food. So I'm waiting with bated breath to hear what it is.
Okay. Because, you know, I looked it up last night, and I enjoyed it all over again. And I got to remember, when in looking at it, I remembered a little bit more about what it was. So the premise was, she was at the Brown Derby, and she was stalking celebrities. And she was staring at them with an open mouth. And finally, a couple of them got tired of being gawked at like that, so they turned the tables on her. And so they were looking at her while she was eating spaghetti. And if you search it on YouTube, or I just searched it last night, and I just put "I Love Lucy Brown Derby."
Okay.
It was the spaghetti episode. Do you remember that one?
I don't remember that one, and I'm kind of like you. I love Lucy. I love the show, and if it's on, I'll watch it. But I was not somebody that, you know, I haven't seen like Stephen or somebody said yesterday, or Gregory, that their mother watched 100 times. I never did that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But I will look that up. Thank you, Mary.
Yeah, search it because it is really funny. And I went last night to the television to look it up on AT&T UVerse, which is what we have, and I couldn't remember what channel it's on. So if anybody has AT&T UVerse and knows what channel it is, I do want to go look for it so I can watch the whole episode and see if I can tape it.
Do you know?
I'm going to look that up this afternoon. Thank you all. Thank you, Tom.
One of the most interesting parts of all of this is that Lucy and what's her name? The
Ethel.
Ethel.
Mm-hmm.
We
have another caller, Tom.
This will only take me a second. They didn't like each other.
Right.
At all.
I know. That's why they call it showbiz. All right. Let's go to Michael. Is it or Mike? Mike.
Mike, welcome.
Hey, can you hear me?
Over. Yes, I can. Nice to hear you calling us today.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm actually looking for a restaurant recommendation for tonight. I'm kind of last minute, so it's my anniversary today. But we did a weekend.
Well,
thank you.
A mistake, but okay.
Well, no, we did a weekend trip this weekend, and you know, did a big deal, so it was fun. So we're actually going to go out with the kids tonight, and you know, have dinner. So. So I'm just kind of, I'm in the Lakeview area, but I'm, you know, I can get around.
You know where I would go? Does everybody, like Italian food? Risotto's.
How old are the kids?
Yeah.
Big question. How old are the kids?
It doesn't matter. They've got all the spaghetti and meatballs that you'd ever need.
No,
yeah, but it's a fine dining establishment. So how old are the kids?
Put them in a little
room.
Never mind. I give up. Go ahead.
10 and 6. 10 and 6.
Okay.
Anyway, I think that'd be a nice one. Great wine list, great cocktails. Once you get away from the meatballs and spaghetti.
If you want to call back or hang on, that's
restaurant.
About it. Also,
yeah,
Shake Shack
give me
or 3Bs.
Give me a backup. Yeah.
3Bs.
I'll tell you what. Stay on the we have the news to get through, and then I'll tell you what.
This requires a little more.
Yeah. Stay tuned. WWL Radio New Orleans, 105.3 FM HD2.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.